Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
sit down, Felicia.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, because God is good, and he is more than worthy to be praised. We would like to welcome every single body, you know, here to Bible study tonight, every single body here to Bible study, whether you're calling in or whether you are online. We would like to welcome you here to Bible study. You know, this is the time that we reserve to be able to get into the meat of the Word of God. You know, we have times to where we can get in and, you know, where we can just go through scriptures and things like that through Sunday service. But God has reserved this time for us to have Bible study. That way we can ask questions about things that we understand, or maybe make comments about things that we understand, or maybe even ask questions about things that we don't understand. So welcome every single one here to Bible study. I am Pastor Manning. Pastor Tawanika Manning, you know, she would be out. She's feeling a little bit ill. So let us keep Pastor Tawanika. Let's keep her in our prayers. We definitely know that God is a healer and she is healed already in the name of Jesus. So we thank God, you know, for our pastor, and we thank God for each and every one of you that's here in Bible study. So let us pray. So Father God, we just like to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to be able to see you in your word, Father. We thank you, Father God, that every single thing that is concerning us, it has already been met in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our source. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being every single thing as far as when we call upon you, you are right there. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood, Christ Jesus, that flows in us, that's all over us, and that's all around us, we find great peace. We find great peace because of your blood. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your blood, for your shed blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that when we woke up this morning, you were speaking to us and you gave us divine instructions. You gave us divine appointment. So we just want to say thank you for being our leader. Thank you for being our coach, our guide, in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us right now. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over our homes right now. We plead your precious blood, Christ Jesus, over our whole bodies right now, over our families right now, over our ministries right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. And we all do say amen. Amen, amen again. So like I want to say, I want to say welcome. Welcome again. I do see that there are family members that are here. I want to say welcome to the ones that I do recognize. I want to welcome my wonderful mother, Kathy Hudson. I welcome you here to Bible study. And also I want to welcome my wonderful grandmother. I do see that you are here as well, Grandma Helen. I want to welcome you here to Bible study. And any others that I do see here, I might not know who you are, Miss Connie Northern. We welcome you here to Bible study as well. Y'all have been so faithful. Y'all have been so faithful, you know, to show up to Bible study. And we do realize that every single time that we come into this place of agreement, agreeing on the word of God, you know, what we're doing is we're sharpening each other. You know, iron does sharpen iron. So every single thing that we have here to deliver to you, these are the same messages that you deliver to your friends and your family members and your loved ones, co-workers. So we thank every single one of y'all for being here in Bible study. So let's get right to it here. Every single thing that will be discussed tonight, it would definitely line up with what we have already been discussing in the Word of God. It might be a little bit different from our studies and Bible study, but it's still going to line up with the Word of God. What I want to teach on tonight, this will be most of a teaching tonight. What I want to teach on is love. I want to teach on love, how God sees love and how God shows love and how we see love and how we put it all together. Okay, first, what we need to understand is that love is very unique. Love is very unique. Every single one, from the time that you are a baby, for the time that you are born, you know, as a baby, you're always in that place where you're looking for this unique type of love. You know, love is very unique. And you look for that even from babies. You know, you don't even have to even know how to talk, but you definitely are looking for love. And that's for every single one. Each person, you know, who are in this world, you know, we are either male or we are female. You know, you want to always be in that place to where you're looking for love. And I'm describing love in the place of emotional type of love, because every single thing that's in your heart or every single thing that's in your mind, you know, it creates emotions. And because it creates emotion, it creates a feeling. And the feeling that we are looking for, or the feeling that may be there, the feeling that might not be there, the emotion that might not be there, is because of love. Well, depending on the feeling, you know, as in the Bible, it described all the way through the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you know, this love, this unique love that I am talking about, this love, give me 1 second. This love that I will be sharing, what I'll be sharing to y'all, this love is described in four different categories in the Bible. And this four different categories we're talking about, I'll explain this to you in just a little second. We're going to take a music break right quick, and I'll get right back to you. We're going to be continuing the lesson of study on love. There's going to be four different types of love I'll be talking about, and these loves will be star J kind of love, then it'll be filial kind of love, agape love, and then it'll be eros kind of love. And I'll explain those when we come back. Y'all stay right there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song says, I am so satisfied with my Savior. Amen. And we are definitely so satisfied with our Savior. Okay, so let's get back to this. Let's get right back into this. I'll try not to go too fast. These are some things that we need to understand. We need to understand that, first of all, love is the most powerful force that there is in this world and, you know, out of this world, you know, in the world to come. This is the most important force that there is, because we have to understand that God is love. And because God is love, God is the most powerfulest being or spirit or what have you that there is. So now let's get right into this. I told you that we as human beings, or we as mankind, you know, in the Bible, it describes love all throughout the Bible. The love that I want to talk about first is probably the one that, you know, once we get, you know, to a certain age, you know, this is the one that we really look for, and it's eros, which is a romantic type of love. See, this is a romantic type of love. And, I mean, if we don't realize that every single body, whether you're male or female, we're always looking for companionship. We're always looking for that romantic type of love. And this is definitely in the Bible. Sometimes, you know, we find ourselves getting into that place to where we think that this is not a natural. You know, we may find ourselves in a place to where you don't think that you're supposed to have romantic love, but that is not true. We are definitely supposed to have a romantic type of love. Even over here in Genesis, in the beginning, Genesis, God, you know, he made male and female, and he commanded them to multiply. Well, that means that, right, to multiply, that means that it has to be a romantic type of love to be able to multiply. So this love right here, where it was described there, is described in other places of the Bible as well. You know, it's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you know, where it is Apostle Paul was telling us about this type of love, this romantic type of love. Okay, let's first understand, you know, what romantic type of love is. I know we may think romantic type of love in our own minds, but I want to show it to you how it's described in the Bible. In the Bible, of the romantic type of love is a sexual desire, a physical attraction, a physical love. See, this is that romantic type of love. Well, let's understand this, and we pretty much know this, but maybe, you know, we could practice or don't practice, but that's not what this lesson is about, you know, if we are practicing this type of love. This love is reserved, you know, for marriage. This romantic type of love, it is reserved for marriage. If you do have your Bibles, you know, this is Bible study. I would like for you to go with me over here to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll read verses 8 and 9. Let me tell you what Apostle Paul, what he says right here. Apostle Paul says right here in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9. It says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And 9 says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. See, when I first read this, I was thinking that, you know, these words that we was reading, it was talking about, it said, right here it said, to burn. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to burn. Then it said, you know, to abide. But as I, you know, got into, you know, reading this and reading from different translations, what he's talking about when he's talking about burn, he's talking about to burn in lust. what he was talking about there is to burn in lust. He's saying it is better to marry than to be in that place where you have this feeling of this type of love, this sexual desire, this physical attraction, this physical love. What Apostle Paul was saying is it is better to marry. He said if you're not married, then it is better, you know, to stay unmarried. But he didn't say, you know, to stay unmarried and be in a place of lust. He was saying, you know, to stay unmarried and to stay in that place of abstinence, stay in that place of abstinence. But if you are in that place where you and whoever it is that you are have sexual desires for, or you're physically attracted, if you just cannot control yourself, he's saying it is better to marry. Amen. So we definitely thank God, you know, for giving us, you know, instructions on how to live and how to use the Word of God. The Word of God is created for us to love one another, and we should love one another according to how the Word of God tells us how to love. Let me show you this. Let me show you another scripture over here on this type of love over here in the book of Proverbs chapter 5. So just go with me over here to Proverbs chapter 5, and I want to read a scripture or two over here in Proverbs chapter 5. We're talking about the uniqueness of love. The uniqueness of love. Love is very unique, and it is also very sacred. So let's just look at it over here. Proverbs chapter 5 and verses 18. I'll give you a few moments here. And if you do have a pen and paper, you know, write this down. You know, we should be practicing love. You know, it is not enough for us just to hear it and then, you know, hear tomorrow, you know, we forget it. You know, so if you do have pen and paper, you know, write it down so we can be able to practice it and also teach it to our family members and friends. Proverbs chapter 5 and verses 18, it reads here, let the fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. 19 says, let her be as the loving hind and present roe and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thy ravished always with her. So what the Bible is saying right here is that, you know, when you have this type of love, or when you have this type of romantic type of love for your wife, you know, within boundaries, it's okay to have, you know, a desire for your wife, or a desire, you know, for your husband in a sexual, but it's reserved. Like I said, it's reserved for marriage. You know, in boundaries, you know, what he's saying is to celebrate. You should celebrate, you know, having your husband, or celebrate having your wife. And this is something that is ordained by God. It is ordained. You know, romance is ordained, but it is ordained for marriage and for marriage only. So if you do have someone and that you are married to and you have sexual desires, you know, this is okay. You know, the Bible says that the bedroom is undefiled. It's undefiled, but it's undefiled for marriage. And I like the way how this scripture tells we should celebrate, because having a wife or having a husband, that's a gift from God. Every single time that a man and a woman enter into a holy matrimony, then we need to understand that because you have entered into a holy matrimony, what this means is that God has shown you or brought you, your mate to you for you to marry, because God knows every single thing that you desire. You know you desire romance, so he bring your mate to you. And that's exactly how God did when he created woman for man. When he created Eve for Adam, he brung Eve to Adam because God definitely knew that it was not good for man to be alone. He definitely knew that Adam would need a suitable mate, just as each and every one of us, you know, is in need of a suitable mate. So this type of love this is a love that every single body, you know, we actually go after this type of love. I want to show you another type of love that is described in the Bible. And this love is described as storge, or this is a family type of love. You know, this family type of love here is definitely described in the Bible as well. This is an affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents, between children, between brothers, and between sisters. You know, this type of love, this family type of love, you know, we have this. This is just natural. You know, when a child is born, the first time that, you know, he or she, they lay eyes on their mother, you know, they form this type of love that it can never be erased. It can never go away. You know, there are things that definitely happen, you know, in our life. Life happens to every single body. But there is a type of love that's there for parents that you just cannot change it. I mean, you just cannot change this type of love. It really doesn't matter. A mother would never stop loving her son or her daughter. Neither would a son or daughter stop loving their mother or their father. This just, I mean, that's impossible. This is a natural type of love. I'm not saying that we won't enter into a place to where you won't have certain type of feelings that will cause you to feel a negative emotion. Everybody has these type of negative emotions at some point in time in their life, but that type of love is naturally formed, this affectionate bond. It can never be taken away because, you know, we are of the same blood and we are of the same family, and that's just what it is. That's how God created us to have this type of love. Even brothers and sisters. Now, I do know that brothers and sisters, they do disagree from time to time, and sometimes they stay in a place of disagreeing for longer than what it's supposed to. But this same type of family, this family type of love, or this storge, this type of love here, this love, it can never be taken away from a brother and a sister. Even if they don't see each other in that way at the time, that's all emotion and feeling. Let me show you this over here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be able to study your word, to be able to practice your word. You commanded us to love one another. And what better way to love one another than following the instruction, the written word that you have already written, that has already been lived and already been obtained for us to get it and maintain it in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 12 and verses 10. I want to show you this type of love here. Romans chapter 12 and verses 10. And it reads here, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, it says, preferring one another. See, this type of love right here, it favors. This type of love that favors a brother, or favors the sister. It favors, you know, the mother and the father and the children. You know, we always want to our family members, you know, to have the advantage. You want them to have the advantage. You favor them. You know, we look up, you know, to one another. We look for the best that's in one another. We don't look to see a mother or a father or a son or daughter, you know, perish or not be in a place of love, no matter what. No matter what, you know, there's nothing that we want more than for our family members to know that we love them. That's the reason why we have things like family reunions and we have birthday parties. That's the reason why we have get together. That's the reason why we come together on Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday, and even have Bible study to be able to sharpen one another, to be able to build one another because of this type of love, this type of family love. You know, we as Christians, we need to really take a good look at this and understand that we as Christians, we are knitted together by something that is stronger, you know, than a physical tie. You know, we are knitted together by the bond or that blood of Jesus. We have to understand that too. And do we know that every single one that is born again, every single one that is born again, we have to understand, you know, this too is a family type of love. Being born again means that you know, as a woman or you as a man, you have entered into a covenant with God saying that every single one that is in Christ, we are brothers and sisters. That means that we are family. And because that we are brothers and sisters and we are family with a stronger bond than just being born of the same mom and the same dad. You know, this is a stronger bond. And this stronger bond, it bounds us by blood. We are knitted together. And this is the reason why that we should love one another as family. Believers should love other believers. We should not be in a place to where we believe in God and we say that we love God, but here it is. There is a brother, there is a sister, there's a mother, a father, and that we're finding ourselves hating them. If you do find yourself in that place, then quickly, you know, examine yourself quickly, because just because we don't agree with one another on every single thing, that does not give us, you know, the right, it should not give us the notion to hate our brothers or sisters because of something that we don't agree with. You know, we are supposed to love one another because we all are believers, and that's just what it is. Nobody is perfect but God. So I should look at the perfectness in you through Christ Jesus. That's how I should look at you. I should look at you in that manner of loving you in the way of looking at you like family. Amen. All right, so let's just move on along here. I have two more. I have one more. We're not going to be on here, you know, too long. But before we go any further, I'm going to open up the lines here just for a second, and somebody might have a question or a comment, something that they might want to say. You might even have a testimony. I'll open up your lines here. We're all so we can all hear. Everybody can say. Do anybody have any questions? Anybody have any questions? You know, you're free to speak now. Grandma Helen, do you have any question? Mom, do you have any question? Sister Connie, do you have any questions? You might have your phones on mute, you know, at this time.
No, I'm good. I'm good. This is Connie.
All right, Sister Connie. Okay. All right. Okay, anybody else have any questions? If not, we'll just go ahead on and move along. I definitely do hope that the lesson of study about love, this unique type of love, I definitely hope that it is helping. I know it's definitely helping me. Before we go any further, I want to tell you about philia love, and I'll tell you about agape love. But before we go any further, I realized something. When I was studying this about love, I realized something that, you know what, there is certain types of love that we gravitate towards. And speaking from my own experience, certain type of love we gravitate towards, and we stay in that place and thinking that that is the only way to love, or maybe that's the one that we're just fixed in on. And that can come from multiple things. That can come from the absence of it, you know, being absent from family members can definitely put you in that place to where you're looking for this type of love. You're looking for a family type of love, being absent from family members, or being absent from a romantic relationship, you know, for a period of time or a long period of time, or maybe you never even found yourself in that place of ever experiencing this real type of love, this romantic love. You know, it can cause us, you know, to be a type of way. It was never meant for us not to experience these types of love, but we do know that, you know, where love is, we do know that the opposite of love is hate, or the opposite of love is evilness. the person that hates and the person that is evil, you know, is Satan, and that's what Satan comes to do. He majors in stripping the love out of your life. You know what? I really believe this. I really believe that in the Garden of Eden, we need to realize that before Satan, you know, it was Lucifer. You know, he was found with iniquity, and you know, he was in the Garden of Eden. He was definitely in the Garden of Eden. A man was there, woman was there, God was there, and it was there. I believe somewhere in there, because man and woman had no restrictions according to scripture saying, you know, to multiply and be fruitful and subdue it. I believe jealousy had came in because man and woman was able to be romantic with one another and produce lives. You know, children was able to be produced. Then that means that the children of God, and these are descendants of God. Man and woman was created in the image of God. So that means that God, little g, was able to be produced. And I believe somewhere in there, you know, Satan became jealous. And here it is, that iniquity. It doesn't really say that exactly like that in the Bible, but I just look at how we live life right now. Have you ever noticed how that when a husband or a wife, they're in that place to where they're just loving on one another, you know, they're just being so romantic and it just looks so beautiful. You know, there are people on the outside that see that and they envy that and they get jealous of that and they try to wedge themselves in between to take your focus off of being romantic with one another, because this is ordained by God. I really do believe that. I definitely really do believe that. Or maybe it's a period of time to where you see that there are families, they are very, very, very in love with one another. But here it is that there's other parts that are outside of the family that maybe want to insert themselves in that family because maybe, you know, their immediate family is not loving each other like that. And you'll see families would feud with one another. And it can be the family that's right next door to you. We see this all the time, and we need to understand that this is the work of Satan. This is the work of Satan because of jealousy and because of envy, because of anger, because of strife, and because of the lack of love. A person knows when they see love. So I just wanted to point that out real quickly here. We'll move right along. Amen. We thank you, Father God, you know, for revelation and knowledge of love, which is what you command us to do. So let's go on here to philia. Philia, or this brotherly love. Now, philia, or this brotherly love, we should always practice this type of love. And the reason why we should always practice this brotherly love or philia, because this is that place where we were just talking about. You know, this is that place to where we might look at one another and begin to have a sense of anger or have a sense of envy, or, you know, we maybe have a jealous spirit because, you know, we look at, you know, we have to practice philia or brotherly love. You know, this is where the Bible tells us about when he's talking about reconciliation. Now, we need to understand, because of the fall of man, because of the fall of mankind, and not just man, but man and woman, because of the fall of mankind, man became enemies to God. Now, God created us in his own image and was his spirit and gave us the whole world to be able to love it. Let's just say it like that, to love it, to subdue it, and, you know, and to multiply in it. But here it is. When we became enemies with God, I mean, when we became friends with Satan, that means by listening to Satan and disobeying the commandments of God, we became enemies. That means we were not friends with God. And because we became not friends with God, there had to be a ransom that had to be paid. And that's the reason why Jesus Christ, which is the Creator, which is God, came and died for each and every one of our sins, so that we can be back in that place of being equal to God, of being friends with God. And we can only do that as being equal to Christ. That means we have to accept Jesus Christ into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. And because we accept Jesus Christ into our life as personal Lord and Savior, that means being baptized by water and then being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means that we are covered in love. We're covered in love. The Holy Spirit is in us. So that means when God sees us, he don't see the sinful man, or he don't see the enemy. He don't see these things that we used to be. All he sees is Jesus. And that's what causes us to be in that place of being brothers or sisters. Jesus describes us as friends, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we should always be practicing that. We should be practicing brotherly love. This is a very powerful and emotional bond. This bond, you know, it seems deeply, you know, within friendship. Even the Bible describes this type of love as beloved. How many times have we seen that word beloved? See, that word beloved in the Bible is talking about, you know, a friend. This is, you know, beloved is talking about, you know, a prize in, you know, a prize. You know, when you say something, this is my prized possession. Do we know that we are God's greatest masterpiece? So because that we are in Christ, we have entered back into that place where God is looking at us the same way he's always looked at us. But now we're able to be equal to Christ, or being equal to God. You're God's prized possession, this filial, this brotherly love. Without this filial love, we cannot please God. You cannot please God no matter how hard you try, by thinking that you are lesser than the person that's down the street, or if you think that you are more than the person that's in this neighborhood. If we don't never look at ourselves as being equal to one another, then we can never look at ourselves as being friends to one another. So how can we say that we love God when God gave us this ministry of reconciliation? And when he gave you this ministry of reconciliation, you know, we are to be restored to one another. And being restored to one another, that means that we should trust in one another. That means we should have confidence in one another. That means that we should hold close to one another. We should have personal affection with one another. So how can we do that? When scripture definitely tells us to do that, and then we find ourselves not doing that. You know, God never did ask us of one another. You know, God commanded us to love one another. So that's why, you know, this lesson started out, you know, showing you that love is unique. It's very unique. And we need to understand that how the world teaches us what love is just taking part of what they've learned, the world learned from the Bible, and use it in its own way to be able to gain its own selfish thing. That's what worldly has wrapped up in that place right there. Go with me over here. Every single thing that we say, we need to be able to find it in scripture. So I want to show you this over here in John chapter 13. We'll wrap up here in about 10 minutes. John chapter 13 and verses 35. So here it is. John chapter 13 and verses 35. This is Jesus that he was speaking here to his disciples. This was right in that place where he predicted his death. And this is right around that time, at the same time, you know, where he washed, you know, the feet of all his disciples, where he was pretty much, this is like the last, one of the last teachings that he was teach them before the prophecy was fulfilled. Oh, so let me show you here what Jesus Christ says here over here in John chapter 13. And I'm going to start right here in 34, and then I'll read 35. 34 says, "A new commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And look what 35 says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I read this, it really showed me something about us as being people. It showed me something about us as being men and women that claim to belong to God or claim to be Christians. These are specific instructions. The word of God is specific instruction. It's divine for you to be able to live after, because this is God that was teaching his disciples right here. 35, it says right here, it says, by this shall all men and all women know that you are my disciples. See, somebody should know that you belong to God by the love that is produced out of you. See, I'm not saying that we as believers don't never, you know, exhibit something that's outside of God. That's not what I'm saying, you know, because, you know, we are spirit first, but we do have a mind. We do have a soul, and we do feel negative emotions from time to time. So I'm not saying that, but this right here is saying that all men would know, you say they would know that you are my disciple because of the love that's being produced out of you, that you love one another. I mean, that's just what it is. Have you ever been in that place to where you had woke up in the morning, or you may have already been started your day out, and then you find yourself, you know, communing with God? And I'm talking about you're communing with God, and here it is, you know, that God gives you some divine instructions. You see someone that's over there, you know, by the street corner. You see someone that is walking down the road, or they might be standing in front of the grocery store, and then, you know, it's put on your heart to love them. And God will tell you how to love them. It may be, you know, with words. It may be with food. It may be with money. It may be with something that they're, you know, that they're needing at the time. See, this is a friendship. This is this type of love that we need to understand, because everybody at some point in your life will be in need of somebody. So when you have this brotherly love, or this philia, this type of love of being equal to one another, this when you find yourself operating, you know, in the love like God commanded us to love. And that's just what it is. So those three loves, I want to tell y'all, you know, how the Bible describes those three, which is eros, then there's starje, then there's philia. But here it is, this last one that I want to show y'all, which is agape. Now, we didn't heard this right here, love, before. We heard agape love. See, agape love, this is God's divine love, agape love. Jesus Christ in the Bible was able to obtain, and I say that word, obtain, agape love. This is the highest type of love, you know, ever known, this world and into the world to come. This agape love, this is a unmeasurable kind of love. This is a uncomparable kind of love for mankind. And we do know how he was able to do that. We do know that how Jesus Christ was able to do that. So because we know how he was able to do that, he was able to do that by being sacrificed for us. Scripture tells us, you know, that there is no greater love than for one to lay down his life for a friend. I think we can find that in several different places. As a matter of fact, we can find that over here in John chapter 15. You can find that scripture, what I just said. There is no greater love than one to give himself, you know, for a friend. I can't really say that every single time in my life when a friend was in need that I put the friend first before I put my own needs. Most of the time, because, you know, we are, you know, living in this world as man and woman, a lot of times we'll enter into that place of being fleshy, of being worldly. If we will put ourselves first. Well, let me get me first, and then, you know, whatever I have left, You know, I'll give it, you know, if I have it left. What if God did us like that? What if God was to put himself first and, you know, to take care of every single thing that God needs to take care of, and what was left over, he would give it, you know, to us, or he would do for us, or if he had time to be able to do something, you know, in this manner for us, then, you know, he would do it. Can we really say that how we love one another is unmeasurable? Can we really say that it is unconditional? Because a lot of the love we have is very conditional. And the reason why it's very conditional is because our minds have not been renewed yet. We have not been renewed in looking at love how we need to look at it, or looking at people how we need to look at them, or looking at this world how we need to look at it, or looking at life. This agape love, you know, this is a supernatural love. This is love that is given to us, you know, by God. This is divine love that comes from God. This love is perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. Go with me over here, and this will be the last, one of the last scriptures that I will show you here. John 3 and 16. You know, we are very, very, very familiar with John 3 and 16. If we don't know any scripture, there's certain scriptures that we do know, and this is one to definitely know. The scripture over here in John 3 and 16, it reads here, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, when I read this scripture, you know, it's sometimes, you know, I find myself to try to line up with, you know, this scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe, and I'm part of that whosoever, and every single one that's right here in Bible study, you are part of that whosoever, you know, believeth in him shall not perish. So every single body that believes, you know, in Christ, when you believe in Christ and confess that he is your personal Lord and Savior, you know, this is a promise. The word of God is the promise of God. And the promise of God, where it says right here that you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It was never the will of God. It was never God's will for man or woman to perish. Now, we do realize that we see death all the time. But that's the reason why we have a Savior. That's the reason why we have Jesus Christ that promises us right here that God loves you. He loves the world. He loves everything. God created the world. He created everything in the world. He created you and I to be good stewards, or to be good shepherds, to be lovers that's in this world. And when you find yourself in that place, you should also find yourself operating in these types of love, these types of unique love, not just operating in the kind of love of being romantic or just family love or even just brotherly love, but move into that place of operating in that godly, divine love, that unconditional love, which is the highest love. God knows that every single one, every single body desires to be in that place where everybody loves them. Everything is always perfect. Everything is always well. Everything is always right. Never to be in that place to where you're sick. Never to be in that place to where you're depressed. Never to be in that place to where you're angry. This is maintainable. And I want to use that word maintainable because it has already been obtained by Jesus Christ, agape love. So the Bible tells us over here, the Bible tells us that those of us, you know, who are in Christ, so because you are in Christ, you know what to do. And how you know what to do is doing like the instructions told you. So We'll put a period right there. You know, we'll pick back up on this, you know, at another time. I definitely hope that every single one was able to, get something out of Bible study tonight. You know, we have so many scriptures, you know, that we read on a daily or that we have already read. We have so much knowledge that we have obtained for scripture. But if you would take this right here, what I just give you tonight, and God showed this to me, I'm not saying that you didn't already know this, but sometimes, you know, we will come out of that place and start looking at the worldly things and may not be in that place of looking at the godly thing, and that's, you know, loving like God told us. If you'll find yourself in this place of loving like this, oh, you'll find yourself operating in power. I'm talking about so much power that it is contagious. It'll catch your neighbors. It'll catch your brother. It'll catch your sister. It's like fire. This type of power, I'm talking about love, it spreads, and it spreads rapidly. It spreads rapidly. Anybody have any questions or comments before we wrap up? Your lines are open, so you are free to speak. Even if you just say amen, or you say that, you know, good lesson, or maybe you have a testimony or two. Anybody have anything?
Yes, this is Miss Connie. And,
okay, Miss Connie.
I received the lesson. It was well explained. And
yes.
I just want to say once again, we didn't get to shout today, but I do want to shout that with the bad breathing issues that I've been having and the crazy weather has had me down, but God keeps pushing me forward, keeps giving me fresh air to breathe, and I've been doing rather well. Got a good doctor report today, so. And I don't take reason for granted, and I don't take God for granted. I trust him, and he has proven it over and over again that he has definitely earned and deserved my trust.
Amen. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. You definitely are experiencing the love of God, and I thank you for your testimony. You know, God is definitely working more miraculous things in your life. So stay in that place of expecting the love of God, expecting the goodness of God, because you are in the land of the living. Hallelujah. We thank you so much. So we'll go ahead on and wrap up, you know, right here. You know, I do want to pray for every single one that is in Bible study tonight and every single one that is online. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that for every single word that we was able to hear tonight that was spoken by your messenger. For it is not our word, Father God, it is your word. And every single word that we do speak, every single word that we do think and that we feel, we confess that it comes from you. We are divinely guided, and we do know that you love us. You love us so much that you gave yourself for us. And we believe in our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we look to him for every single thing that is concerning us. And we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, and we plead your blood over us. We plead your blood over every single thing that was learned tonight. And we decree and we declare that we're not just going to keep it for ourselves, but we're going to go out like you told us to go out and preach this same word. Just like you have preached to us tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. And we all do say amen, amen, amen again. Well, I thank every single one for being here in Bible study. You know, we'll be back here Sunday at 10 a.m. So Sunday at 10 a.m., we will have Sunday service. And then Sunday at 2 p.m., we will also have Sunday service. So stay in that place of loving one another. You know, take these scriptures and take what you learned tonight and practice it and live off of it. And know one thing, you know, that God loves you more than you ever can imagine. Okay, Pastor Tyler and I, we love you. God loves you more. Remember, Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Good night, everybody.
of my life.
Everybody, listen, I feel a key change in the house right here.